This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. As we launch into another week of fun and excitement here on Free Talk Live, again, that number 800-259-9231. Bring up whatever you want. It's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are for free, so enjoy those on us. Yet again, that is freetalklive.com. So lots to talk about, as always, tonight here, including a story involving the police and a 78-year-old man. It seems like the victims of the police just keep getting older and older.
Well, you know, those baby boomers, they've always been trouble. So.
I don't think a 75-year-old man's a baby boomer.
Yeah, true, unless he was in the TARDIS or something for a while now.
Silent generation.
Yeah.
So we might get to that, but I wanted to start things out tonight with a bit of an email conversation I've had over the past, past 24 hours that I thought deserved a bit of on-air discussion.
Okay.
Recently, here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we do the show from, there has been a particular politician that has taken an interest in, us. Me and you, Mark, and my girlfriend, Julia, who recently ran for city council. And this particular politician is a sitting city council member.
Is this a good interest or a bad interest?
He's very friendly.
I'd say it's good.
He's a
nice guy. He wants to learn. He wants to understand where we're coming from. And he was under sort of the mistaken impression that all Free State Project members are akin to the Russell Cannings and the Lauren Canarios of the world. And just so people are just tuning in understand what I'm talking about, the Free State Project is a movement of 20,000 liberty-oriented people all moving to New Hampshire. The only thing that really holds them together, or you can categorize them in the same group, is because, well, they all believe in less government than what we have today.
Yeah.
I think the statement of intent says we think that the maximum role of government should be protection of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's where the similarities end. Because within that statement, there are a whole lot of different personalities and different people and individuals. People that believe everything from, there should be absolutely no government whatsoever.
Like yes, government is immoral.
To Mark, who believes in a very, very small, limited, sort of constitutionally sized government.
So, right. I believe the government should take on the roles that the marketplace can't handle
handle everything. So that just goes to show you that there's a significant difference between many of the members of my Free State
Project. Philosophy on government is government can only take care of me if it is composed of most of the women who are on who are members of the Free Talk Live Shrine.
Oh, I see.
Will hand over my, maybe not, but it would be a nice fantasy.
A fantasy government that probably will never see the light of day.
Sure, there you go.
Yep, the Baywatch girls on the local police force.
And they got nothing on the Forum girls. That's
so I made it clear that Free Staters, Free State Project members, are very, very different. They can vary widely in their belief systems. So this particular gentleman was under that mistaken impression that we were all the same, and he's been very curious about our positions on things. So the shared email he sent me this morning. He says, I heard a little discussion of you and Mark were having this past Saturday night, because we're now on in Keene on Saturday, so he was listening live, about police asking parents to allow involuntary inspections of their children's room to look for guns. I couldn't listen to your whole argument, so I'm not sure what your proposal was to reduce the amount of gun-related violence in some of our communities that suffer from such criminal behavior. Are you proposing just to allow the exponential increase of gun-related deaths in communities as a means of culling out those who would be victimized by such violence as a better alternative to voluntary searches? Is it your belief that those who have been who would be victimized today might be tomorrow's perpetrators of gun violence against others, and that by killing them as victims, it saves societies from dealing with them as perpetrators and potentially warehousing them in a prison for X amount of years? Is it your belief that an occasional innocent victim of gun violence, as opposed to someone who, as they say, lives by the sword and dies by the sword, is the price that some families will have to pay to remain secure against police and government intrusive searches? Are you of the opinion that it is better for parents to refuse such searches and rather take a chance that their family won't be touched by such sometimes random or targeted violence? I'm not clear on these matters and your position on the same.
A lot of questions there.
Yeah. By the way, Gardner, before we go on, did you hear the story about the Boston
that
police?
That Boston story. I wanted to talk about it today. I didn't get to, and really want to get to it tomorrow. It's a fascinating story. The presumption of innocence for these guys being totally tossed away. The very fact that they might possess a firearm, I didn't know that was something that would allow for, you know, a search.
One of the things that we found quite concerning was the way that cops tend to behave. They had painted the story again. Boston police going to be going to certain suspect houses where suspect teenagers live and asking the parents to allow them to search their teen's room for jars.
No pressure at all.
Right. No, there's no pressure. That's why they're sending three cops. And we all know about how cops behave and how they treat people and how they are trained to intimidate. So it seems to me that they're going to essentially intimidate these parents using their coercive yet voluntary questioning methods.
I'm going to have to ask you to allow me to search your child's room.
Yes.
Right. He's just asking, but the way they ask it, it doesn't sound like asking. No. So these parents are going to let these cops in. They're going to search, and their kids are going to get in trouble. They're going to find drug paraphernalia, other things that they weren't necessarily looking for, which actually brings me to another email that we got from one of our police friends who clarified a mistake I made on Saturday night. He says that when police are executing a search warrant, if you find something illegal while searching for something unrelated to what you found, as long as where you were searching was allowed by the warrant, it is admissible in court.
Yeah, as long as it was a justified search on the other front, anything else that you find is admissible.
Correct. Right. He does say, though, an example of what wouldn't be allowed would be if you were serving a warrant for a vehicle, which would allow access to a garage. Once inside the garage, you can't open drawers as a vehicle couldn't possibly fit in one. But otherwise, if the search warrant is for a gun and the cop's poking around the teenager's room and finds a bag of marijuana, that's A, confiscatable, B, usable in court, and certainly an arrestable offense.
Yeah.
So I just see a lot of trouble coming to low-income and minority families as a result of this Boston program.
I'm intrigued by the questions that you guys were asked of by the politician, because to me there are some very clear-cut issues regarding the presumption of innocence, whether or not the police officers are justified to go in the first place and even approach the home to do any sort of police investigative work, because there is no reason to show up at the home unless they think that the kid has committed some sort of crime. And what is the crime?
Well, they think that the crime is the possession of a firearm.
Exactly. And,
of
course, we know that constitutionally that is not a crime.
Well, hold on.
That's the problem.
I have a couple of questions. I guess I don't really have a problem really with the police asking. I just want people to be informed that they're asking.
Sure. And the police, legally they can do this. I mean, they can go and ask you to whatever they want. I mean, it's a contact, just like I can walk up to you on the street and ask you a question, too. You don't have to answer. So it's sort of that same situation.
Yeah.
But what I really want to address is this particular gentleman's misconceptions and misunderstandings of my position. And I think my position on this one, and that is gun possession, is the same as all of us. So I'm going to read my response to him. I said, hey, I'll use his name. It's Fred. Fred, thanks for asking. As you'll see, your hypothesis was way off. Eventually, you'll be able to easily predict my positions on issues, because I think he's sort of new to this liberty thing, even though he's had a number of emails that have gone back and forth, certainly between you and him, Mark. I know that you and he had an extended conversation.
We've had lunch. It's nice. Coffee, I guess.
States like Massachusetts, so let's take a closer look at this. States like Massachusetts and New York tend to have a lot of gun violence because of laws that disarm the law-abiding population. When ordinary people are told by government to turn over their weapons, they comply. Criminals, on the other hand, do not. As gun restrictions increase, violent crime also increases. In the United Kingdom, for instance, after they banned handguns, armed home invasions dramatically increased, and they were committed while people were at home. New Hampshire and Vermont have very little gun violence because people in those states have more gun freedom, and criminals know it. The solution to gun violence is to allow people to defend themselves, as they can do in Vermont, Alaska, and to a lesser extent, New Hampshire. I say to a lesser extent because New Hampshire should abolish the concealed carry permit. If one must ask permission to carry a firearm, it is not a right, but a privilege. More on the way, we'll get Fred's response to this. 800-259-9231. Turns out, even after my email, he still doesn't quite get it. We'll help clarify things here in a moment. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention, this is Jack Blood with an urgent GCN news bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there is a very real chance you will now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not cheating. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control. Get relief. Get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Ted Anderson from Midas. November 19, 2007. Gold, 786, 40 ounce. Gold coins can be purchased for 810, 29, 399, 40 for half, 199, 70 for quarter. That's 810, 29, 399, 40, and 199, 70. The dollar has fallen to 65% of the euro. Erosion accelerates. Mainline talk show hosts are trying to hold on to the support of the conservative movement, keeping focus on the Republican agenda and playing into the hand of the globalists. Dr. Corsi interviewed Robert Pastor of the American University with a sleight of hand and incremental implementation, Pastor admits to the North American Union is being forced upon us. Corsi uncovers the CFR's plan to build a North American community similar to the EU. In his report, The North American Union Isn't Going Away, Corsi exposes the deception and trickery. Call for your report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention, this is Jack Blood with an urgent GCN news bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there is a very real chance you will now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not cheating. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control. Get relief. Get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Spyville.com is your choice for everything spy-related. Stealth cameras, cleverly disguised as items commonly found around the home. Night vision cameras, covert phone and voice recorders, powerful binoculars, security systems, and more. Find hidden cameras wherever you go with a small handheld spy finder and locate hidden transmitters with one of our bug detectors. Spyville.com also carries a wide variety of night vision scopes, allowing you to see in the darkest conditions. Protect your home and business with our complete line of security cameras made to fit any situation. We also carry a large selection of personal security devices. Keep your personal belongings secure using our hidden safes made out of everyday household items, including an outlet safe and even an underwear safe. Go online and check out our huge selection of spy-related gear. Christmas is coming, so don't delay. Go to spyville.com. That is S-P-Y-V-I-L-L-E.com. Or call us today at 866-779-8455. That's 866-779-8455. Spyville.com, where your personal security and well-being is our goal.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Gar.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. If I sound a bit coldy tonight, that's probably because my nose has been running all day, so excuse that. Anyway, 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there are completely free, including the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who have sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. I believe Kaylee is our newest Shriner. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. You can take a look at that at freetalklive.com.
The Republican Liberty Caucus welcomes new members in the pursuit of individual rights, limited government, and free enterprise principles, all within the GOP. Visit rlc.org and click Join Us today. We'll find liberty together. That's rlc.org.
Shame on me. That's Keeley. Keeley, not Kaylee. Brand new
nice
to the
picture.
Shrine.
Great yep. picture. Good so, choice, woman. Way to go.
Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com. All right. So we're in the middle of sharing an email. Actually, a series of emails that had gone back and forth between myself and a local politician here in Keene who has apparently started listening to Free Talk Live's weekend edition. The live
He's going to get converted.
And, you know, that's what I said to him. I said, you know, eventually, Fred, you're going to be able to understand my position without even having to ask what it is. You'll be able to pick an issue and think, oh, I know what Ian will think about that, because liberty-oriented people base their positions on principle, not right. the, you know, whims of some political party or some board of directors somewhere that, you know, determines, we believe this. No, we base it on a very simple, understandable principle, and that is that it's really abhorrent to utilize, to initiate force on people to achieve goals in life. You know, if you want to get wealthy, you shouldn't go and steal things. You shouldn't rob people at gunpoint. You should provide a service or a product on a voluntary basis, for instance. Just as an example.
Yeah.
So everything sort of flows from that point. And we were talking about guns. We were talking about the Boston police going to houses in the in the city of Boston, asking parents to allow them in to search for firearms in their teenagers' rooms. And I was pretty upset about that for a variety of different reasons. And you can review the Saturday show at freetalklive.com to see what those were. But he heard that particular conversation, and he was a little confused. And I tried to clarify my position for him by letting him know that the reason for gun violence and the reason why cities like Boston have a problem with it is because they have a lot of restrictions on gun ownership. We've seen this again and again, state after state. Those areas with the most gun restrictions tend to also have the most gun-related crime, the most right. violent crime.
Right. How odd.
Right. And so states like Vermont and Alaska and New Hampshire, which are three states that have very, very low amounts of gun laws. I don't think Alaska or Vermont have any gun restrictions. Mm. And New Hampshire, I believe the only one worth speaking of is the concealed carry permit, which is a shall-issue permit here. So that means essentially that you ask for one and you get it.
Right. I don't even like that, but not as bad as other places.
And I said that should be abolished. In fact, and interestingly enough, New Hampshire does have a little bit more violent crime than Vermont does. And again, this per capita. It's not just because Vermont only has 700,000 people and New Hampshire has 1.5 million. So it's, you know, per population. Hmm. New Hampshire has a little bit more. And that's because there's more gun control here. So that's I tried to make that pretty clear. And Fred wrote back. He says, thanks for the clarification. So if I understand your response, and he didn't, he says, you're in favor of allowing gang members and run-of-the-mill criminals and the like to possess guns, hoping that legalization will eliminate the need for such tools of violence. Because I also commented on the
how are we doing? How are we doing as far as keeping the guns out of the hands of gang members?
Yeah,
not so good.
Not so good.
It's a total QED to think that the criminals are not going to try to get their hands on guns. They have a profit motive to get guns.
Right. I mean, I can understand laws against criminals having guns, but how do you discern who the criminal is?
You can.
Good point.
Right.
So
they
use a gun in a criminal manner.
Right. And that's what we need laws against. If somebody uses a gun in a criminal manner, you slap them with a big old long sentence.
So he says that, do I want to just let gang members and criminals having guns in the streets, hoping that legalization will eliminate the need for such tools of violence, but also to arm all other citizens as well so we can have shootouts in the streets? Isn't that what's been happening in the inner cities? Well, no. No, there haven't been shootouts between the good guys and the bad guys in the inner cities. There are certainly shootings in the inner cities,
mm-hmm.
and what's happening is that
most of the shootings are likely over territory for drugs.
Exactly.
I mean, to just single out legalizing, making it legal for everyone to own a gun is, I think that in and of itself would be a good step, but there's other things you can do to eliminate violence, too.
Right. I had actually said originally that one of the contributing factors to gun violence is the war on drugs. Criminal gangs frequently fight over territory, and innocent people can get caught in the crossfire. Additionally, strung-out addicts looking for another fix are also likely to resort to violence in order to acquire cash. Relegalizing drugs would solve this problem virtually overnight. I understand that one of the sources of violence here in Keene, and there's not a lot of it, is the heroin-addicted gang called the White Knights. If heroin were re-legalized, its price would drop closer to the price of aspirin instead of the price of gold, and criminal activity would no longer be necessary in order to afford the habit. And I said, as usual, government solutions have only brought more problems. So he, again, he still didn't quite get it, and he says that, so you just want me to, you just want all citizens to shoot it out with the gangsters in the streets? Isn't that what's happening in the inner cities? No, what's happening in the inner cities is regular citizens have been disarmed by the gun control legislation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had these little gun turn-in, the gun buyback programs. It's now illegal in New York City to carry any sort of firearm. You can't even have a toy gun in New York
Washington,
City.
Washington, D.C. attempted to outlaw all guns.
They've been trying to do that in Boston.
Right.
And, of course, Boston just, I hate to interrupt too far, but Boston recently, they tried to impose, they said, well, we're getting so much violent crime down on Boston Common, I talked about this on my show,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to have to impose some sort of curfew on Boston Common. So I said, hey, what if you did the opposite and you said, concealed carry shall be permitted anywhere on Boston Common. Where do you think the criminals are going to go?
Somewhere else.
They'll go someplace else. Exactly.
So, so Fred, you got it completely wrong. What's happening in the inner cities is the citizens are disarmed and the criminals have arms, and their citizens are told, if something happens, don't use violence. You must call the police and they'll help you. Which, that doesn't do anything if somebody's holding you up at gunpoint.
Right. I'd call the police if I could, but there's a guy with a gun standing in front of me.
Right, plus the Supreme Court has ruled time and time again that the police don't have any obligation to protect you, so...
I think that most of them try, you know, they try to do that.
They would,
and it's not even possible for them to be everywhere anyway. No. You know, the bulk of crimes, as this man probably does not know, the bulk of crimes are stopped by people, not police officers. They're stopped by people who interrupt or people who are armed.
So he says, everyone has a gun, and they feel free to defend themselves when fired upon. What a concept. They'll eventually eliminate themselves. It's no wonder you're so far ahead of the rest of us old-timers. bit of a smarmy, ageist comment there at the end there. No, that's not the concept. See, the idea is, by arming civilians, those who want to be armed, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying everyone should have a firearm. No. Everyone who wants to have a firearm should be able to have one and carry it, should they like to.
Right. If this is the concern he has, why don't we just get rid of all the guns? For God's sakes, they're causing violence. Oh, yeah, that's right, because the criminals are the only ones who are going to have
right.
the guns left.
Right.
You can't get the guns out of the hands of the bad people.
Exactly.
You can only take them out of the hands of the good ones.
And the purpose isn't to have shootouts in the streets. The purpose is to prevent violence, and we can explain how that happens in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you need an easier way to stay in touch? A two-way radio may be for you. Two-way radios provide short-range communication with no recurring service charges. Perfect for outdoor activities like camping, hunting, and skiing. Great for amusement parks, cruises, or just keeping up with the kids around the neighborhood. Two-way radios can also make your business more efficient. Cut costs while increasing productivity in doctor and dental offices, restaurants, retail, warehouses, construction, and more. TWRadios.com is the Internet's leading two-way radio provider. With same-day shipping on top name brands including Motorola, Kenwood, Midland, Garmin, and Cobra, rest assured you'll be getting the most durable and reliable radios available. Visit us today at twradios.com. That's twradios.com. Or call us toll free at 800-584-1445 and let us help you choose the best radio for your needs. That's 800-584-1445 or online at twradios.com. Keeping in contact has never been easier or more affordable.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following 2 free reports. U.S. Debt Bubble Red Alert and Real Estate Crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Bulletin board system's there. We've got over 300,000 posts, serious issues, and fun stuff. You'll find it all for free at bbs.freetalklive.com, bbs.freetalklive.com. And now you can save time and money on common legal matters created by top attorneys. LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like your will or living trust in minutes. LegalZoom.com, use code FTL to save 10%. That's LegalZoom.com. In the middle of an email response to one of the local politicians here in the Keene area who has started to listen to the show on Saturday nights, because we're now on here in our hometown of Keene on Saturday nights, and he was a little confused about our position on the whole gun freedom issue, which we didn't really discuss on Saturday night, so he only heard us talking about guns and then spun off into this world of hypothesis as to what we thought should happen in regards to firearms. And basically his position is that we thought that people should be armed so that they can have shootouts in the streets and eventually eliminate themselves.
Right, not exactly what we're going for.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not at all. In fact, the purpose of arming civilians, again, those who want to be armed, not some sort of mandatory law forcing people to be armed, that's absurd. So those who want to be armed should be allowed to be armed, because then the criminal element in whatever the area is will know that there's no more gun prohibition, no more gun restrictions preventing the average person from having firearms, and that means they're going to think twice before they walk into a restaurant and hold them up, or they walk into a grocery store and hold them up, or whatever, whatever it is they're doing to get cash, because they know that there's a chance that somebody standing in that store, some customer, or maybe even an employee, is armed.
Yeah, you know, behind what he's saying here is the idea that if you allow for people, law-abiding people, to carry their firearms as they have a right to do, because they exist, they have a right to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't even need to go any farther, but if you want to go any farther on it, his assumption is that if you allow law-abiding people to carry these things, then the people who were already criminals and were already armed and were already shooting at each other will be shooting at each other more. I mean, yeah. They're totally non-connected. There's no connection whatsoever.
Where are all the shootouts?
Right, and the argument that he's making is, well, if you're going to legalize guns, then what you're going to do, you're pretty much thinking that all these people are going to shoot each other and wipe each other out. All the criminals wipe each other out. It's like, look, all the criminals already have guns, and they're shooting each other, and more criminals crop up because there's an incentive to be a criminal to sell stuff that's against the law.
Right.
So the guns have nothing to do with it, whether they're legal. That has nothing to do with the argument in any way whatsoever.
He's fear-mongering to some extent. Yeah. He doesn't realize that he's fear-mongering. He's probably scared himself. Mm. But the fact is,
former cop.
Right. There are places already where this is so. Vermont and Alaska are largely unregulated as far as guns go.
Where are the gun battles?
Yeah, where are the gun battles in Vermont and Alaska? Secondly, New Hampshire. You're saying, oh, well, there's not a metropolitan area in there. Well, New Hampshire's almost unregulated except for getting a shall issue permit as far as
open carry is legal. You can walk around with a pistol on your hip. If everyone can see it, you're completely legal.
Right, and they have Manchester, and they have Nashua. They have metropolitan areas in New Hampshire. Nashua is actually part of the Boston Metro. There's no, are there shootouts? Sure there are now and then, but still the violence is less there than it is in other places where guns are outlawed. I understand the fear and the concern, but the numbers simply don't bear it out.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if I mentioned this story to you guys, but this is another great example of the practical reasons why you want to allow people to carry weapons and firearms as they have a right to do. You look at South Boston. There was a Jamaica Plain incident where the police got called out to help a woman who had been sexually assaulted. They get there. She had been assaulted by a guy who didn't have a firearm. He had a screwdriver, and he was threatening her with a screwdriver. So she was sexually assaulted. They're there to help her out. They're on the call. And then about 300 yards down or 400 yards away, another woman is being sexually assaulted by the same guy.
Oh, dear.
That's how prevalent crime is in Boston. If the first woman had had a firearm, he'd either be dead or injured, or he wouldn't be in that area at all.
Right. I mean, look, the criminals, some of them are dumb, okay? But the ones that don't get caught, there are a lot of intelligent criminals out there. And I remember John Stossel did a presentation that had something to do with firearms and criminals and home invasions and burglaries and that sort of thing.
Mm. I'm sure interested in where you're going to take this with the smart criminals.
Well, smart criminals don't, they choose their targets wisely. The fact is, you don't have to be even that intelligent to look at City A, City B. City A has gun control measures where you know that the average person isn't going to have a firearm if they're a good law-abiding citizen. Whereas City B has no gun control measures whatsoever. And there's a chance you could encounter a firearm. In fact, a pretty good chance. 1 out of 3 or something like that.
Well, I don't think the criminals generally don't go very far from their homes to commit their crimes. It's just that they're incentivized differently.
Smart ones do.
Every once in a while,
the cost-benefit analysis is for these guys.
Right,
I think.
But
it's just like any other business practice.
Right.
Really.
If you're a professional criminal, if what you do for a living is steal and rob and criminalize, then you are going to take a close look at who your victims are going to be, and you're going to make decisions based on that. So if I were picking as a criminal between City A and City B, City A having gun control, City B having gun freedom, it's a no-brainer. City A. I'm going to go to the place where the police and the government has disarmed the citizens.
It's so satisfying being able to talk to you guys about this because, a lot of times when we're sitting there, I remember reading John Lott's book, as I mentioned off the air, More Guns, Less Crime. Here's a guy who's a trained economist coming out of Chicago doing a study on guns, a statistical cross-temporal that's over time, a cross-temporal, cross-cultural analysis, finding that the more guns are available to people, the more violent crime drops.
Mm-hmm.
And other types of crimes might increase slightly, nonviolent crimes, where people will be engaged in some sort of crime where they realize that they'll be able to get away with it without confronting a person.
Right.
United
so the crooks
States,
are motivated, they're incentivized
to stay away.
To stop using guns and
exactly.
to start breaking in
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, they're not going to go up against somebody if they think that person could be
honestly,
armed.
I'd rather have my wife, my house broken into than my wife robbed at gunpoint on the street.
Sure, absolutely.
But he's saying that even a house being broken into is not going to happen if the criminal thinks there's a chance the homeowner
well,
is going to be
there's
armed.
There's a very interesting statistic behind that, actually. Lott looked at the difference between what they call hot burglary rates in the United States and in countries that have very strict gun control policies.
Hot
like
meaning
England.
The person is home?
Yes,
time?
Hot burglary versus cold burglary. Hot burglary is when they don't case the place and they just burst in at any time. A cold burglary mm-hmm. occurs when they case the place, find out the patterns, and then go in because they don't want somebody to be there.
Sure.
And
because they might pick up a shotgun.
You got it. The hot burglary rate in the United States is much lower than the hot burglary rate in England and in other nations. And we already know other statistics, like in Australia when they banned guns, how the violent crime rate went up 400%, and
mm-hmm.
it did 440% over in England. So it's very clear that statistically, practically speaking, it's better to allow people to have guns. And then, of course, you add to it the moral and ethical aspect of who is the government to say, who is any politician to say, well, I'm sorry, but in order to get what we think is the right way to go, we're going to stop you from being able to exercise your God-given right,
right.
or your natural right, whichever you want to look at it, to protect your own damn body. You know,
you got it. And so, and once again, it's just a simple matter of the Second Amendment claims that it's a right to bear arms. So if you have a right, you don't have to ask permission from anybody.
That's
what they want. That's what the government people want. They want you to come on bended knee and ask them to grant you permission to carry a tool to defend
you
yourself
know, it's
with.
Interesting to see how muddied people's thinking has become because of the contemporary arguments about gun control, Ian. If you look, I'll compare this contemporary politician from Keene, who's probably a very pleasant man. You look at the muddled thinking of this man and all the different things he tries to come up with and thinking that he's being very brilliant and so on. I'll refer to Aristotle over this guy any day of the week. Aristotle said, and he was one of the first people to do it, he was quite contrary to Plato's socialistic ideas and totalitarian ideas. Aristotle believed in the individual. Aristotle believed that the individual had a right to himself, one of the first to articulate it, and he believed that each individual had a granted right because of his existence to be able to defend himself. He was the first one to really speak out about it. Aristotle, politician.
If you don't defend yourself, you can't count on anybody else. You really just can't. It'll be nice if the cops get there in time, but most of the time, they don't. We're on the way, 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live. Formaldehyde, boric acid, styrene, butadiene, TDI. These are just some of the chemicals used to make conventional mattresses. Is this what you want to be breathing every night? Scientists worry about these chemicals' effects on the developing brains of children, but they're not good for anybody, especially people with allergies. Latex mattresses made by Savirest are made of natural latex rubber with no off-gassing chemicals, and dust mites can't live in them. Go to Savirest.com and buy a latex mattress today. Savirest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of.
You know that the Federal Reserve is stealing your money every time they print more of their notes. Now, are you willing to do something about it? An increasing number of Americans are now using the Liberty Dollar to protect their purchasing power and profit. These people are returning America to value $1 at a time. Will you be one of them? Go to LibertyDollar.org. Stop being ripped off. Start using the Liberty Dollar and return America to value $1 at a time. Call 888-LIBDOLLAR or visit LibertyDollar.org. That's 888-LIBDOLLAR or LibertyDollar.org.
Tired of those same old kitchen cabinets? Sears has a perfect solution for you and can give you a custom design look to match any budget. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation and save $500 on your new kitchen. Offer ends 12-107. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. Call Sears now at 1-800-300-8069 and save $500. That's 1-800-300-8069. Sears, where it begins.
Looking for a new heating system? Enjoy comfort this winter with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust, Sears. With unbeatable pricing and our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-241-0746 for a free in-home consultation. Don't forget to ask about our special financing offer. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensing information available upon request. Offer ends 12-107. Call Sears now, 1-800-241-0746. Sears, where it begins.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, water. We sail on it and wash with it. And in cars, it belongs in the radiator. But H2O in tires is dangerous. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to royalpurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high performance motor oil that outperforms.
Water's just great in mountain streams, but when it sneaks into tires, the danger's crystal clear. Water and the dirt it carries can warp the inside of your tires. Here's how it gets in. Moisture collects in air pump compressors. When tire valves connect with pump valves, this unwanted water piggybacks right into your tire. To prevent this unwelcomed hitchhiker, jiggle the pump valve and release some air. If you get soggy, ease on down to the next watering hole. I mean, service station. I'm Bobby Likas. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free. 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark. 1-800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com if you like the show, and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then go shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. You enter Amazon through that link, Free Talk Live gets a percentage of your purchase. 41 categories to shop in, new and used items. Doesn't matter what you put in your shopping cart, we will get a cut if you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com. And the New Hampshire Liberty Forum has a proud history of supporting true hard currency. At the first forum, Dr. Ron Paul called for the restoration of constitutional gold and silver. This January, Bernard von Nothaus, monetary architect of the Liberty Dollar, will be a distinguished speaker, amongst a whole bunch of other ones. Register now at freestateproject.org/libertyforum, freestateproject.org/libertyforum, and if you use the code 2008FTL, all one word, you'll save 10%. That's code 2008FTL. That was 25% over the weekend. That's now dropped. That deal's over, so if you missed out on that, you can still get 10% off by using that code. Once again, freestateproject.org.
Do that before that's gone, too.
/libertyforum. All right, 800-259-9231. One more thought on this gun control issue. And I want to address something that our emailer sort of glossed over. He thought that we should legalize drugs and hope that the legalization would eliminate the need for guns, would eliminate violence, essentially.
He thinks that? That we should legalize drugs?
That's his understanding of what I said. And what I had said was that, you know, re-legalizing drugs would dramatically reduce the amount of violence in society.
I can see there's a lot of evidence that, in fact, legalizing drugs would decrease crime. For one, a lot of the crime is the possession of the drugs themselves.
And sure, but I'm talking about violent crime.
Okay.
Not necessarily just crime. But he's, and so his interpretation of what I said was that, oh, so you're just going to hope that legalization will eliminate the need to have guns around. And no, no, that's not what I said. If you re-legalize drugs, you end prohibition. Now, prohibition works the same way whether it's drugs or alcohol or guns or people or whatever it is that the government has said, you may not have this. That's what prohibition is. You, if you have this and we catch you, you're going to a jail cell. You know, prohibition, that's what it is. It didn't work in the early part of the 20th century when they amended the Constitution and made it so alcohol was illegal. So they figured that out, thankfully, and they re-amended the Constitution and made it so alcohol was legal again. And what do you know, the crime that had started
surrounded
out,
alcohol?
Right, the gangs.
Al Capone.
The corruption. Yeah. It all dried
Tommy guns,
up. Right. It all just went away. And then it came back once they made drugs illegal.
Yeah.
Because prohibition operates in the same fashion, no matter what the product or service
is. It took them quite some time to make drugs fashionable and make people want them all over. But at that point, you're talking about supply-side economics. The gangsters are offering this illegal substance. They need people to use it. It's not just the people in the inner cities and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to, you know, export it. They had to work very hard at getting people interested in it.
Yeah.
And
I remember, Mark, when my dad and I would talk, he used to work at a filling station, a garage filling station in Marblehead when he was a teenager, and he used to drink Coca-Cola like crazy. My dad was born in 1917. When he drank Coca-Cola originally, it had cocaine in it.
Isn't that an urban legend?
No, Coca-Cola had cocaine.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know that it was in 1917. I cannot verify.
Yeah, I don't know when they stopped it, but they did change the formula.
Okay.
And that's, you know, back when they had cocaine in it. And he goes, you know, I used to drink 8 of those a day. And I was like, he goes, it gave you a lot of energy. And
it has zip.
Yeah, it had a lot of zip was the word he used to use. He
zip was
a lot of zip.
The word they used in their ads.
Yeah, exactly. And
by zip they meant cocaine.
Yeah. So it's one of these deals where if you look at that prohibition that causes this incredible profit incentive, and of course the inability to be able to rely on proper courtrooms and police procedures and all of the supposed establishments that are out there. So all the problems have to be addressed through force, always
right.
Through force on the criminal side.
Right, because you can't go to an arbitrator and solve the problem.
No,
there are no criminal arbitrators. It's just kill or be killed.
Right,
you know, defend your turf or lose it.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And the same thing with prostitutes. They have no place to go. You know, they've got these johns who are watching over them, and it's a real shame.
It's the pimps that are watching over them.
I mean, the pimps. Yeah, I did that before. It's the pimps, yes. And
apparently you don't know enough about this whole prostitute.
Yeah, I know. You know, what can I tell you?
So Fred's got it wrong in two ways. He thinks that our position is that we hope legalization will eliminate the need for guns. Well, no. Re-legalizing drugs won't make it so people don't have to have guns anymore. You're still going to... It's people that want drugs, want guns, should still be allowed to have them, because even without drugs being illegal, there's still a chance of crazy people, and there's still a chance of violence. Legalizing drugs won't eliminate violence entirely, but it will drastically reduce it, literally almost overnight. And that's not something we have to hope for, either. It's something you can look at history and see, yeah, that's what happens. When you make it so drugs are legal again, then it gets out of the hands of criminals. Because how many criminals are dealing aspirin?
Right.
It's legal.
Right?
They don't have to.
Nobody. No criminals are selling NyQuil on the street corner.
Right.
It's legal. You can walk right into the CVS or your local pharmacy.
I don't think aspirin and NyQuil really resonates with most people. I think that really what you have to be talking about is cigarettes
and alcohol.
Alcohol.
Okay,
I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
They're all drugs, whatever. Yeah.
They certainly are, and the people are going to want those things. Remember, alcohol was illegal. Yes, they had shootouts over it. Yes, people went ahead and drank it.
Yeah.
They
amazingly,
want it.
Budweiser and all the other Coors and those guys, they're not shooting up each other.
They're not blowing each other's factories up.
In fact, they help provide us with advertising revenue to watch football games now because everybody's so interested in this stuff.
And, you know, there's lots of good reasons, logical reasons why it should be legal for people to own guns completely.
Mm-hmm.
It should be legal for people to use drugs if they want. But the fact is, it's my body. And if I want to go home and drink a gallon of bleach, I can do that because it is mine. I own it, not Fred or the Keene City Council, not anybody. It's me. I decide.
Absolutely.
And so if I want to protect myself with a gun, I earn the money to go pay for that gun. It's mine. You can't tell me otherwise. Now, if I use that gun to hurt someone or take someone else's property, then we're talking about jail time on a lot of it.
Yeah. Right. It wouldn't matter, though, if you used a gun or a knife or, you know, just your bare fists. If you're using force on somebody else, if you're harming another person or taking their property, regardless of what weapon you choose, if any, that's the problem. That's the crime.
Right, right.
That's what needs to be punished.
You know, I remember I was writing a spec script for Star Trek Voyager one time early on when I was getting into the script writing stuff. And I utilized an idea that Douglas Adams had used in a Star Trek, a Doctor Who story, and I sort of transferred it and manipulated it a little bit. And I had it that the Voyager crew was coming upon a spaceship that was burning up, and they teleported the people who were still aboard the ship onto their ship and rescued them.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that this other alien group arrests them and says that they're trafficking in contraband. And then they find out later that these people that they've rescued were on a ship. All these people were going to allow themselves to be killed or kill themselves. And when they die, their bodies decompose in this highly addictive substance that the other alien race really loves.
Hmm.
And so at a certain point, I wanted to combine the idea of self-selected suicide, owning one's own body, with the drug war. And in the end, there's this confrontation between one of the characters, and he says, you know, how can you, you know, do such a disservice to the idea of life? And he goes, look, my life is my own.
Yeah.
Because I can do what I want to do with my life. It's the greatest crowning achievement to say that if I want to choose to do this, I'll do it, and I'll do it for my own reasons, not for you. And as much as people are disappointed by people who might take their lives or people who might do things that erode their integrity because of drugs or something like that, it is still their life. And you have to celebrate the fact that people can make their own decisions, even to the point where they cause themselves damage. Because
isn't
it's
that
the
what
only
makes
way,
life great?
Exactly. It's the only way you can't. The only way to be able to succeed is if you have the freedom to fail.
Yeah.
And Fred was talking about keeping guns out of the hands of criminals, and this is something that, you know, touches my life. It's illegal. It's a felony for me to own a gun, a firearm.
Outrageous.
Now, in another state, I could own, say, an antique firearm. In New Hampshire, none at all. You know, I guess it doesn't make any sense. Yes, I made a mistake when I was 17 years old.
Right.
20 years ago, I made a mistake. Does that mean that, you know, from here on out, I can't protect my family?
That's what it means, apparently.
What
yeah.
about my wife? She can't own a gun?
No.
Well, what about my kid?
That's one of the big things when this TI thing came down. This guy's on probation, you know, and they get him. I really have a problem when I keep hearing this term gun crime, gun violation. What is a gun crime? What do they mean by that? And Mark's got a great point. I think if somebody is deemed safe enough to put out into society, our criminal justice system has said that man is safe enough or that woman is safe enough
right.
to be able to defend himself with a firearm. Otherwise, don't put him out into society.
That's a great point. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. 78-year-old man is being sued by a cop. Why? We'll find out in hour two. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
America.